And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from our basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, with Steve Vaughn in the studio with me. A couple of homeschooling dads bringing a biblical worldview to bear in the present day in which we see a slide of faith, family, and freedom, a loss of these values in our day. And so we are doing our best to return to the Word of God and to bring about something of a reformation by reforming our views of the Word of God, bringing back the centrality of God, the centrality of the Word of God as a source of our truth, our ethics, and coming back to the voice of the shepherd to hear what God is telling us in a world in which man is God and man is the source of his own truth and ethics. Well, today we finally arrived, Steve. This is the week for the big PCA conference in St. Louis, Missouri. This PCA church is hosting a homosexual conference, and this is a big week in the history of evangelicalism. Each of these steps towards apostasy is noteworthy, and I think we need to bring it out as we chronicle the decline of the Western faith. I call it the 2 Timothy 3:5 conference.
Yeah, the appearance of godliness. Yeah.
And lacking the power thereof.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the appearance of godliness and lacking the power thereof conference in St. Louis, Missouri. It's the Revoice Conference, starting tomorrow night. And the goal of the conference, according to the website, is to support, encourage, and empower LGBT Christians. So that's it. Celebrate the orientation without following through on the orientation to homosexual activity. So that's the goal of this conference. They, again, do not want to encourage homosexual activity. However, they do want to celebrate the orientation, as empower the orientation, support, encourage LGBT Christians. That's the goal of this conference. The assumption, of course, is that God made certain people with a homosexual orientation or an orientation towards cross-species perversions or whatever it is, as in The Shape of Water. This is the movie that came out recently, received all the awards, Shape of Water. It was the cross-species orientation, sexual orientation, a very perverted concept. But the assumption is that God makes these people with these sorts of orientations. And they're supposed to somehow live with the orientation and to be identified by the orientation. And even Christians, I guess, are not supposed to receive anything of a new orientation, but they just continue on with the identity of LGBT or whatever sexual perversion they might have embraced by the old nature they've received through Adam. So, again, that's the worldview perspective of these folks that are supporting the Revoice Conference. And Steve, I think in 2 or 3 years, you're going to see evangelical groups celebrating cross-species orientation, supporting, encouraging, empowering Christians with cross-species orientations. I think that's going to happen. You may say, well, that's kind of an irony. You're being satirical. I'm not being satirical. I'm being serious. I think very, very probably in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we will see conferences, Revoice conferences, encouraging Christians who happen to have something of this cross-species perverted orientation, like what the world promoted most recently in the movie A Shape of Water that received the Academy Award. So, friends, this is the church running after the world and taking on worldly ideas and embracing worldly orientations. This is the world. This is the church not coming out from among them, being separate. This is the world not. This is the church refusing to avoid conformance with the world. This is the church not renewing its mind according to the perfect will of God. So, friends, this is what is going on in evangelicalism today. It's very, very sad. This is a breathtaking lapse of faith, Steve.
Yeah, I wonder what the church would do if somebody came to them with a stealing orientation or a murderous orientation or a lying orientation, because those are all part of the Ten Commandments as well.
Well,
and,
yes. Uh-huh.
And so if I'm just born that way. I was born to be a liar, and so you need to affirm my lying. I was born to take all your money. You need to affirm that and give me all your money.
For some reason, the Supreme Court of the United States hasn't come out on those particular issues and said, we are affirming the orientation towards murder and lying. They do affirm the right to abort, but they don't agree that abortion is murder. So,
right.
So they're, you know, cloaking that one. But because the world of the Supreme Court of the United States doesn't allow an official approval of those particular sins, then the church is not going to kowtow to that. The church is only going to kowtow to the sins that have received the approval of the world, ergo the Supreme Court of the United States. That's all we're saying, my friends. It's the church running after the world with all of its zest. So why do you want to hang on to the homosexual orientation with so much fervor? Why would you dedicate a whole conference to embracing and empowering a gay orientation? Friends, this is a lack of faith. This is the lapse of faith. This is the abandonment of faith on the part of the evangelical church. And I hope that somehow the Holy Spirit of God would convict the church for this terrible lapse of faith and cry out for God's salvation, that he might return his face and look to us with a mercy that we have not seen in this generation, that somehow God would have mercy upon our generation and reform and revive the Church of Jesus Christ, which at this point is very much falling apart. Christians these days do not believe in miracles. They don't have the faith to believe in miracles. They don't believe in a God who can do miracles like raising the dead, either physically or spiritually. I don't think that the modern evangelical church really believes that God could raise the dead, that God could raise somebody from physical death, or that God can raise somebody from spiritual death. I just don't think that's the faith of the broad evangelical church today. Friends, is there no spiritual life left anymore in American evangelicalism? Is there zero transformations such that we have to have an entire conference on how there cannot be a transformation of orientation in the life of a homosexual, quote-unquote, Christian? Friends, is there zero transformation amongst the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is that the status of Protestant, a white evangelicalism? Is that where we are today? My encouragement, Steve, is that they would cancel the conference. And I know there have been other bloggers and other radio programs that have encouraged this organization, this PCA church, and those that promote this conference to cancel the conference. Not only should they cancel the conference, I think at this point, these pastors should resign the pastorate as well, close the doors of the church, sell off the property, and go find the real gospel that is able to bring about radical transformations and provide a new identity to those who have the problem of homosexual affections. They need to go find the real gospel. Shut down the church, friends. It's time for these evangelicals to come to a major crisis in their own consideration of the faith itself. They need to come to the point of crisis. They need to come to the point that they not only cancel the conference, but close down the church and sell off the property and go find the real gospel and discover again what a real conversion looks like. You know, I think we need to get a different kind of conference going, Steve. What about a Rejoice conference over a Revoice conference? Let's go for the Rejoice conference. I'm looking forward to the Rejoice conference, where people will come together who have been raised from the dead. You know, captives set free. They've got a new identity in Christ. People who used to be blind, now they see. People who used to be homosexual, now they're free from that horrible bondage. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a Rejoice conference over a Revoice conference? Friends, let's go ahead and schedule one, at least maybe for the year 2022 or whatever it is. Let's schedule a Rejoice conference to displace the Revoice conference, where we're just revoicing the same old of being bound in our sin and not released and transformed by the amazing work of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah, maybe a repent conference.
That's good. Yeah. Let's go with a repent conference. Lots of good re's here.
Yeah.
Friends, we don't need a Revoice conference. Cancel the Revoice conference. Let's do a Rejoice conference or a repent conference, where we might repent. We might repent of this orientation.
Yeah.
We might repent of the way that we see ourselves as defining ourselves, as embracing that which God does not recommend for us. Maybe we need an entire repent conference where we develop an entirely new view of God, of the law of God, of sin, of Christ, of his atonement, where we begin to repent of our sins, turn from our sin, and turn to Christ with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience.
Yeah, that could actually become a weekly conference. Maybe hold it on the first day of the week.
First day of the week, maybe have a repent conference.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And then open up Repentance Community Church.
Yeah.
That would be good, too. I'm beginning to like the way you think, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what about a Rejoice Conference, Repent Conference, or Regeneration Conference? That would be where the Holy Spirit actually does work and transforms hearts and completely changes our affections and the direction of our life and gives us a whole new identity in Christ. That would be good, too.
Yeah.
A Regeneration Conference, a Repent Conference, or a Rejoice Conference, friends, this would be wonderful to replace the Revoice Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, going on tomorrow night. Or we could have a Return Conference, a Return to the Prayer Closet Conference, in which we just pray and wait and hope for the salvation of the Lord to come to our churches, where people are actually set free from their pornography addictions and their homosexual inclinations, where they'd be set free from the bondage of self and pride and deceit and fear and faithlessness. That would be wonderful. Let's have a Return to the Prayer Closet Conference, where we return to the prayer closet and wait in a hope for the salvation of the Lord, because it's a good thing for a man to hope and patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Friends, that's what we want to see. And then we would feature Rosaria Butterfield, who would explain to us what it's like to be regenerated, repentant, and have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love her book, Openness Unhindered, and her other book, Surprising Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. Friends, these books, and there have been a number of books written by those who have been set free from the bondage of a wrong sexual orientation. And I recommend Rosaria Butterfield's books to you as well. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Dads, are you intent on raising your sons to be courageous men of God, but struggling to find the time for some serious relationship building? Then we invite you to the Father-Son Retreat, this August 16th through the 19th. You'll experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at the breathtakingly beautiful Crooked Creek Ranch nestled in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. Adventures galore await you in the mountains, along with rock-solid biblical teaching and some of the richest Christian fellowship you've ever enjoyed with men from around the country. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
We're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today, Steve on the studio, as we talk about the Revoice Conference and the capitulation of the church to the world, and largely because the church sends its kids off to the public schools, public universities, public K-12 schools, where they are carefully indoctrinated in the wrong worldview, and then, of course, that becomes the worldview that dominates in the church generation by generation. That's why Christians are acting like the world generation by generation. As we send our kids off to secular universities and as we send our kids off to K-12 schools, of course, they're going to advocate the same things these schools teach them, because these schools are discipleship centers. So it should be no surprise that the schools continue to move in the direction of transgendering the schools and homosexualizing the schools as well. Reuters gives us this story this week. Apparently, England is overhauling its sex education programs to elevate LGBT rights. England schools could, for the first time, treat LGBT life the same as heterosexuality, in a radical shift that campaigners say would transform the lives of children struggling with their sexuality or gender. According to the draft guidance published by Britain's Department of Education, children from 5 to 16 years of age would be taught that other families, either in school or in the wider world, sometimes look different from their family. Ergo, homosexual families with two fathers / two mothers, just as appropriate, just as normal as families with one mother and one father. So that, my friends, is where sex education is going in England. And I would encourage you again, if you are a Christian parent in England, not to stumble your child, for it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea, according to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. So let's be sure that parents are warned not to stumble their children in these classrooms in which they are encouraged to the commission of sinful acts, much like the sinful act of homosexuality. So get your kids out of these schools, I think, is the rule that we need to encourage with our friends from England. I'm sure there are a few Christians left in England. I know that there are Christian families left in England. My encouragement, friends, is that if there was ever a time in which you should come out from among them, be separate. If there's any time in history in which you should not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, according to the will of God, you should find out from Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, what is God's rule for the raising of children? That is, not to submit themselves to the schools of the Philistines or to the Moabites or to the schools of the Romans or the Greeks. It is to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So I'm encouraging our brothers and sisters across the lake in England to repent of sending their kids off to the public schools and homeschool their own children. And if you'd like resources to bring this about, of course, check out our website at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And do remember that we have a free shipping policy to England now, as well as to almost every other nation around the world. So if you would like information about this, just simply email me at host@generations.org for more information on shipping materials off to foreign nations like England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, et cetera, et cetera. And we will ship with a free postage policy. So, friends, it's free postage to foreign nations now as a basic policy that we have adapted for encouraging and providing resources to Christian families and nations around the world. So to take advantage of that, simply email me at host@generations.org, and we'll be sure we send you off the policy statement for shipping materials off to our brothers and sisters, our Christian families that need these resources in nations around the world. Because, Steve, we are living in an era in which the world is corrupting families, and we want to strengthen the things that remain. We want to strengthen God's people wherever they are. We want to show that there are options for creating islands of freedom, islands of culture, islands of Christian education, and islands of God's word and inculcating God's word into the lives of our children. And in order to do that, we provide these resources. We provide Christian education resources through generations.org. So it's absolutely critical that we get these materials into the hands of our brothers and sisters around the world. And we are willing to sacrifice ourselves and sacrifice our own income in order to see that to come about. So that's why the free postage policy to nations around the world for Christians who need resources for providing a distinctively Christian education for their kids.
It's pretty incredible. Makes me want to move out of the United States so I can get
take advantage of that free postage policy.
Yeah.
We have other sales as well for those who live here in the United States, Steve. All right. So again, England moving towards a pro-homosexual policy for the sex ed classes for 6- and 7-year-olds. And the same thing is happening in Illinois and Hawaii as well. You remember the 2011 passage of California's Fair Education Act, which required, it mandated pro-homosexual indoctrination in public school history and social studies classrooms around California. California absolutely mandated that the accomplishments of homosexuals like Harvey Milk or Nero or the first Nazis to develop the Nazi party in gay bars in Germany in the 1920s, the great heroes in history, these stories must be told for little 6-, 7-, 8-, 9-year-olds in California schools per a law that was passed in 2011. And now this year, the Illinois State Senate took the historic vote to mandate LGBTQ history be taught in their schools as well as SB 3249. That happened in Illinois. So Illinois following California. Should we expect fires in Illinois next year? I wonder, I don't know. Since California burned down last year, the year that they implemented the 2011 Fair Education Act mandating homosexual indoctrination in California schools. All right, so I don't know if Illinois will see fires, earthquakes. I'm not sure, but I guess you could expect something.
Yeah.
Hawaii Governor David Ige also signed a groundbreaking bill last Friday prohibiting discrimination against LGBTQ students in Hawaiian schools, including the transgendering of bathrooms and so forth and so on. House Bill 1489 bans discrimination on the basis of sex, including gender identity or expression or sexual orientation in Hawaii schools. Is that any form of sexual expression? Is that any form of orientation? Is that the orientation towards rape or towards incest or bestiality. Do you not want to discriminate against somebody who has a rape orientation or an incest orientation?
Maybe teacher-student orientation.
Or even perhaps a teacher-student sexual expression orientation in K-6 schools. I just wonder if they've opened that up.
Yeah, that would be a good question to ask, and it'd be a good reason for parents to be asking these questions to determine what they want to do with their kids.
I agree, Steve. I think it's time for Christians to get their 7-year-old kids out of the transgender bathrooms, whether it be in California, in Illinois, in Hawaii, wherever it is, and pastors need to stand up and teach to this. The pastors of Baptist churches, of Presbyterian churches, of Calvary chapels, evangelical churches throughout Hawaii, man, you guys better stand up, get some guts, and assume a little courage, and start teaching your families in your churches to get their kids out of Hawaiian public schools. It's time now to get your kids out of these Illinois public schools, friends, and homeschool them or Christian school them, but get them out now. Pastors, it's time to pull on your pants, get some guts, assume a little courage, and start teaching your families to get their 7-year-old kids out of the transgender classrooms and start teaching them the Word of God as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. It's time for pastors to protect the sheep and to protect the little lambs. Absolutely, absolutely. What does Jesus hold us to? He holds us to something very simple. If you stumble, one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So may God give these pastors amazing courage and faith to stand up and submit themselves to possible persecution, pushback from members, and certainly the spiritual pushback and persecution that always comes when you stand against the public schools, when you take a stand against the principalities and powers that absolutely have a lockhold control over the public schools in Hawaii, California, Colorado, or anywhere else around the United States. It's time for pastors to stand up on these sorts of things, Steve. And by the way, Hawaii has pretty much tipped its scales on every single aspect of homosexuality. Both houses of the state legislature in Hawaii overwhelmingly approved the bill promoting homosexuality in Hawaiian schools this year. Only one lawmaker voted against the proposal. It was pesky little Bob McDermott, still taking a stand against the most unspeakably immoral issues of the day, the abominable practices of homosexuality, bestiality, that sort of thing. One guy taking a stand in the Hawaiian legislature. Isn't that surprising? There's one solitary man voted against. I was looking at the vote. I went over to the Hawaii legislature website and checked out the vote. Yeah, sure enough, one guy stood against the tide. One guy said, I'm not for whatever Nero is doing with his pro-homosexual idea, pro-homosexual programs and his pro-bestiality and pro-incest programs.
Amen to Bob.
Yeah, Bob has taken the stand. It's amazing that there's one guy left in Hawaii that will take a stand against this in the Hawaiian legislature. So I don't know. Is God going to preserve Hawaii?
For one person?
For one person.
He didn't Sodom and Gomorrah.
He didn't Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, he had Lot there, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hawaii, hard to say Hawaii is going to be preserved, for my friends. Only one guy left. And if there's anybody else in Hawaii that takes a stand with Bob and takes a stand for God's word and for the basic, most basic ethical perspectives of God's word, if there's anybody left in Hawaii that takes a stand for righteousness, just write into our program and give us a little encouragement that there may be 10 or 12 who have not bowed a knee to Baal or submitted themselves to the homosexuality of Sodom. So if there's just 10 or 12, please write into our program and say, we're still here, and just write into me at host@generations.org. All right. So also, Hawaii became the 12th state to ban conversion therapy in April. So nobody's allowed to be converted, apparently, from a lifestyle of homosexuality or a lifestyle of sin, of any form of sin, I guess, according to a bill signed by Governor Ige in April of this year. So, again, a conversion therapy, that is any form of conversion from homosexuality, apparently is not allowed in the state of Hawaii as of April. But my guess is the Holy Spirit of God is probably going to violate that rule.
I was just thinking that. Is the governor going to put God in jail for this? Maybe fine him?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be doing this.
My wife and I got a big kick out of a big old sign that was put up outside of our town. It said, no fireworks.
Yeah.
And we were driving. Yeah, you get what's coming.
I've seen that.
We're driving. Yeah, you've seen the sign, right?
Yes.
You're driving in this town of Elizabeth, and we crested the hill and saw the sign, no fireworks. And at the moment, there was this massive lightning strike that occurred behind the sign. God's not paying any attention
That's right.
to the rules of men.
He
will break those rules right and left. And I'm sure he's going to break the rules in Hawaii as well, as this Holy Spirit of God converts and radically changes homosexuals to be the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and pastors, read through Acts chapter 3 through 5. I mean, this is something that Peter and James and John and the apostles were up against. That, you know, the authorities were saying, you're filling Jerusalem with your doctrine. Stop it. Stop it. And they came back and they prayed and said, God, give us courage. Give us courage to do, and, you know, take note of their threats, but give us courage to go out and speak, because we're going to do that. You guys need to do that, and you need to expect persecution and maybe even physical violence against you, just as Peter and John did. And they walked out and rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer the sufferings of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, Hawaii over the edge, my friends, 12th state to ban conversion. And also, Hawaii Supreme Court has upheld a discrimination case in which a lesbian couple was turned away by a bed and breakfast after the owner cited their religious beliefs. So Hawaii, again, completely obliterated property rights in their fervor to embrace lesbianism, incest, or whatever it was. So what's going on here? Of course, this is the normalization of extremely egregious, leavenous, contagious sins. This is a precursor to the destruction of human society, as we know. Now, you know, serial killing is one thing. There are serial killers, and they do it. But normalizing serial killing is quite another thing. You follow me here, Steve?
Yes.
Convenience divorce here and there is one thing, but normalizing divorce upsets all of human society. Normalizing evil, encouraging evil, spreading evil, this is wrong. It is wrong because the human heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. It will tend to run towards the most destructive forms of evil. And when civil magistrates and civil judges and Supreme Courts of Hawaii or anywhere else, they stand up and normalize evil, of course you can expect incredibly destructive effects upon millions upon millions upon millions of individual lives, family life, children, grandchildren, whole communities. And as Christians, we absolutely cannot tolerate the possibility of normalizing evil in our homes. We cannot use the word gay. We can't say, oh, he's gay. It's okay, everybody does it. We don't say that. We don't use the term gay, of course, because that normalizes sin even more than normalizing the sin. It creates the sin and presents the sin as a virtue. And that's, of course, what the world is doing. So let's not normalize sin, present sin as a virtue, whether it be fornication, whether it be pornography, whether it be lying or homosexuality, whatever it is. The movies do this, of course. They normalize swearing, cursing, and fornication, homosexuality. They make it seem like no big deal. So the more you watch movies, the more you're going to normalize swearing, cursing, fornication, homosexuality. Sin is a big deal. Remember, sin is a big deal. Sin is a very big deal. When you and I sin, it's a very big deal. So teach your children the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Teach your children that we should fear God's judgment on a society that brings all the evil practices out of the closet and celebrates them in front of God and the whole world. Let's use biblical language. Let's fear God. Let's call an abomination. Let's call a damnable sin a damnable sin. And, of course, what they're doing is that they obliterate shame and guilt in a society that's an attempt to avoid the need for Christ's atoning work. And that's what they're doing. They're really casting Christ's atoning work aside, saying there's no need for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins because we're just such wonderful, beautiful people, and we have no need for the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. So that's what they're doing. They're normalizing sin. They're obliterating shame, obliterating guilt, because they don't want to embrace the truth of Christ's atonement. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of God's judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? Friends, not the time to minimize sin, not the time to cast Christ's atonement aside and see it as some common, unworthy thing. No, now is the time to embrace Christ's atonement, to cry out for Christ's mercy upon us and to receive his blood as the pardon for our sins. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. As we wrap up the program, friends, let me encourage you to support this radio program for another year. Your $10 a month or $20 a month or $100 a month, absolutely critical for keeping this radio program on the air for the next year. So I would encourage you, if you have been benefited by this program, or if our ministry has been somewhat helpful to you in any way, consider providing some kind of financial support for us. Remember, we are a 501c3 organization, so your donations are tax deductible, and we appreciate all of those donations that we receive, whether it be $2 a month, or $10 a month, $50 a month, or $100 a month. We encourage you to support our radio program today by going to our website, generousness.org, and clicking on Give. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.